And that is an insight that we should always bear in mind. The Ramban mentions it in one of his drushos. The Ramban, who was very, very astute, in one of his speeches says that one has to be very careful not to overstate the case, not to build up the expectations. And if you'll notice, as I mentioned to you when we studied the ideas of Maimonides, that he paints a very low-key messianic era. No miracles, no golden apples falling from trees. Olam kiminhogo noeg, he says. The world will continue as it is. Things will be better, there won't be war, there'll be a general struggle of mankind to improve itself. Technology will make life easier, but it's not a time of angels flying out of heaven to serve everyone a piece of the Leviathan. That is just a false picture. But Jewish tradition and the troubles that we have undergone in the long exile have made that too placid a picture of the Messiah. Because after waiting 2,000 years and all of the blood and sacrifice, that's not enough to keep the people going. And therefore, in Jewish legend, in the Jewish mind, in the Jewish imagination, the time of the Messiah is all fireworks and glitter, miracles and extraordinary things. Well, that's what happened to the church in the First Crusade. Their success was their undoing. And because of the fact that it did not produce any noticeable improvement, whether it be spiritual or physical, in the lives of Christians throughout the world, in fact, one of the reasons that the crusade began was to ensure that Christian pilgrims would be able to come to Jerusalem unharmed and without having to pay ransom and booty and taxes to the marauding Muslims. So now they had the privilege of paying ransom and booty to the marauding Christians. In the old line from Adam Smith, that a buck is a buck. And therefore, it's hard to express how great the wave of disappointment was. And because of that, in retrospect, the First Crusade should be seen as the high water mark of the church. Because from then, from about the year 1100 onwards, the church begins its steady and irreversible decline, which continues in our time as well. The church will go to the Renaissance, it will go to the Reformation, it will go to the modern era, to secularism, it will go to all of the problems that face Western man. But the church, as the central unifying agent of Western civilization, as the hope of mankind, after the First Crusade, people did not think of it that way. And the church itself becomes bogged down in terrible pettiness. You're going to have two different popes at one time. France will have a pope. Italy will have a pope. You know, my pope can beat up your pope. And each pope will put the other one into excommunication. So if you want to be safe in medieval Europe, you have to have both popes praying for you. And all sorts of terrible difficulties that undermined and sapped the strength of the church in Europe and also served to move religion from the center of the world and made it a much more peripheral, an important area in human development and human life. Now, as far as the Jews were concerned, so this triumph of the church brought about a very, very strong pressure upon the Jews to convert. The church felt its oaths. It felt that if it could take Jerusalem away from the Muslims and that it now ruled the entire civilized world, that it was reprehensible.